This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Think Alaska is just snow and mountains? Well, think again. Today, we're joined by Betsy of Her Alaska Travels, who's here to reveal the hidden gems of Alaska, how she's mastered Alaska Airlines' points and miles, and why traveling to the last frontier might just be your next greatest adventure. From solo flights at the age of 5 to luxury trips using points and miles, this episode is your all-access pass to experiencing Alaska like a local. Let's dive right in.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we're thrilled to be joined by Betsy of Her Alaska Travels, a true expert in all things Alaska. Born and raised in the last frontier, Betsy has an unparalleled knowledge of Alaskan travel, the best hidden gems in the state, and how to make the most of Alaska Airlines and their mileage plan. And if she just knows the points and miles game as well. Betsy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, DeAndre. Nice to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I already let the audience know, Betsy, that you are from Alaska. So I just got to ask, what's it like growing up in Alaska? I mean, coordinating this was, you know, what a 5-6 hour time difference on its own. So what's it like living in the last frontier?
Yeah, so being born and raised here was absolutely epic, to the point where I now am determined to raise my daughter in Alaska for the experience, for the culture, for the grit that Alaskans have to have while growing up. I mean, growing up in Alaska is, it's hard to pinpoint, but it is absolutely different in the sense where we were raised to survive. There are some things, you know, that you have to do. You have to be prepared for weather. You have to be prepared for animals. I mean, I literally grew up, my kindergarten class had a drill on what to do if you were walking home from school and ran into a moose. So I was born to, or I was raised to survive pretty scary situations. And I love that because I have been able to apply that to my travels and also any other kind of like scary or things that could scare other people.
That's awesome, Betsy. So I know that you're a pretty seasoned traveler in general. So I'm curious, how did you end up getting started in the world of travel and how did that evolve into your expertise that you now have specifically in points and miles?
Awesome. Yeah. So believe it or not, I started traveling at the age of 5 and solo traveling at the age of 5. When my parents split up at the age of 3, my dad relocated to Oregon, sisters Oregon, and I was on a rotational schedule with them, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So I actually was going on the plane at 5 years old as an unaccompanied minor up until I started first grade on Alaska Airlines, on Delta Airlines. I would go as an unaccompanied minor and travel down to Oregon to stay with my dad during his time and vice versa. So I started traveling at a really young age, and I knew as Alaskans, the only way to get a break is get on an airplane. We can't drive to another state to experience something. Like, to get somewhere to take a break from Alaska, from the rough life that we live up here, it's not that bad, but it's a little rough. And we have to get on the airplane. So I have been doing that since I was 5 years old. And I mean, I solo traveled at five. Granted, I was unaccompanied minor, which I will just say right now, as an unaccompanied minor, that really set the level of travel pretty high. I always think about how we go to lounges now. When I was unaccompanied minor, there was an area for kids that was exactly like lounges are now. I mean, there was a buffet of snacks and food. There was a play area. There was couches for us to take a break and like lay down and sleep. And I remember these lounges when I was a kid that I would go to as an unaccompanied minor. That's really kind of what started my travel career. And my mom, she ended up moving out of state from Alaska, and my dad moved back to Alaska. So I was, again, still doing that travel during the summer and during winter break. And I was flying as an unaccompanied minor to travel back and forth to my parents' house. And then that evolved when I became an adult. I got a job that made decent money to me, because my first job, I was a barista. And then I, at the age of 17, I went to the oil field. The oil field is like in the Arctic of Alaska. So we actually fly to the oil field. It's a 2-hour flight, 624 miles from Anchorage. And we go there and we work for weeks at a time. And we work anywhere from like 2 weeks to, the longest hitch I did was 14 weeks. And we work every single day, 12 hours a day, and we make bank, right? We're working 84 hours a week. That's 40 hours straight time, 44 hours overtime, minimum.
Wow.
Some days we work 16 to 18 hours, depending on the job, right? So after those hitches, we call them, we would get like an R&R, which is like a couple weeks break. And during those R&Rs, I knew as soon as I was making that money and able to travel that I wanted to go travel. And so I started traveling at 18. I took my first like solo trip as an adult to Hawaii, which is a very, very familiar place for Alaskans because it's easy for us to get down there. It's almost like the second Alaska. We're very similar in the culture. We're very similar in being so remote from the lower 48, which is what we call the states. So I took a trip there and I was with a friend. We were essentially backpacking in Oahu and we went to Maui. I fell in love with Maui. And 6 months later, I packed up all my things and moved to Maui. I was there for a little under a year where I was both commuting back and forth from Alaska to work in the oil field. And then at one point I was laid off. So I worked at a coffee shop in Maui. But since then, it has been game on. Like, I had the means to travel with working in the oil field. I was able to make a good enough amount of money. I was able to have the time off on those R&Rs to go travel. And also that first backpacking trip, I met my best friend who was a total gypsy. We are still best friends today. And she had been traveling all over the world. And she had this plan to travel to so many countries. And I just tagged along with her whenever I could. I would meet her in different countries on my R&Rs. So that's kind of how my love of travel started.
Okay.
Another fun thing is that that best friend invited me in 2013 to come work for her at a festival, a Renaissance festival in Florida. And I got a wild hair and I was like, okay, I'm going to come, but I'm also going to drive there. So I drove from Alaska to Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 2013.
Which is like the probably one of the farthest routes you could possibly drive, and the extent of US to US passing through Canada. That's absolutely wild.
Yeah, it was a blast. Oh, wow. It was such a great experience. I will say I had a front wheel drive Mazda 3 stick shift. Wouldn't recommend. I was exhausted all the time from, you know, shifting and the clutch and all that. So that's one thing I would recommend if somebody was going to be doing that long drive. But otherwise, it was amazing. I started in Juneau, took the ferry down to Canada through Skagway, drove down to Seattle, took the 101 all along the West Coast, and then started to cut across the bottom of the states, Arizona, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and then Louisiana. Louisiana, actually, my flywheel on my clutch went out. So I was stuck in Louisiana for almost 6 weeks living in a tent because I didn't plan. I didn't have the means because I didn't plan to stay in one place. I was, you know, planning to keep going. So when my flywheel went out and they had to order the new flywheel, I was stuck there for, yeah, a little over 5 weeks and waiting for my car to get fixed. And if you asked my dad why the flywheel went out, it's because I was trying to teach my friends who met me along the way how to drive stick shift with my car, which I also don't recommend because your car is a very valuable resource when you're driving across the United States. So lesson learned.
I love the life lessons there. Betsy, well, how did you evolve from driving across the country and being in a Renaissance fair and doing all these things, living in a tent for 6 weeks, to enjoying points and miles travel?
Yeah, believe it or not, I didn't learn about points and miles until 2021, which is very recent. Again, had the means to travel, so I didn't really hone in on it or understand the value of it. But when I became a mom, and I decided I wanted to be a mom and take time off, I lost my six-figure career. Actually, believe it or not, when I had my daughter at the six-week appointment, I asked my doctor, I was like, when are babies allowed to go on the plane? And she laughs and says, you can take your baby on the plane whenever you want to take your baby on the plane. I was like, oh. So then that day I booked a flight to Maui, which is a place that I really love. And we flew to Maui like 3 days later. But I had no idea that babies were allowed to go on the plane for vacation. I thought babies could only go on the plane to go somewhere for an event or a holiday or to go see family. I did not know that you could travel with your kids for vacation. I just didn't know. You don't know until somebody tells you, or you're like, oh, should I take this baby on the plane? I wasn't sure. But anywho, when I had my daughter, we lost my income and I still wanted to travel. So I just started. At first, I got targeted on Instagram somehow on free ways to travel. And I signed up for a webinar and I learned about it. Funny story. I had the Chase Sapphire card since 2017. I had the Chase Sapphire card the whole entire time. I don't exactly remember if I was able to redeem those points that I had just never touched, never even knew about Chase Sapphire points or the value or Hyatt or anything like that. So I had a Chase Sapphire card the whole entire time. I had the opportunity to book free travel the whole time, had no clue. But what made me start to look into it was having my daughter and knowing that I wanted to continue traveling with my daughter. And as of today, my daughter has been on 86 flights.
And how old is she?
Three.
Wow. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, Betsy, I want to talk a lot about Alaska travel, where to go, things to do, but let's jump first into the points and the miles space since we're on that subject. And I know you're an expert in all things Alaska Airlines. Why does it have such a loyal following? And this is coming from someone that's a big American Airlines fan. I've never flown Alaska. I'm on the East Coast here, so it doesn't even hit any of the places that I've ever been. However, I have seen where I'm looking at a flight, I'm using a tool like PointsPath or something like that, and it's like, you can find this flight for 6,500 Alaskan Airlines miles or 9,000 American miles. And I'm like, okay, it'd be cool to have some Alaskan miles right now. So tell me what you love about Alaskan Airlines and what makes them stand out in general.
So Alaska Airlines, for Alaskans, the biggest value are two things. They have the most flights in and out of Alaska. I think they have 22 flights now from Anchorage to Seattle. Seattle and LA are opportunities to get to the States Like, we generally have to go Seattle or LA. So Alaska has really provided the flexibility for scheduling for Alaskans. Another thing that why Alaskans are really loyal to Alaska Airlines is because of the opportunity to earn miles. We have a ton of different, like, Alaska exclusive ways to earn miles through partner programs, and that's huge. And then lastly, Alaska Airlines just promotes to Alaskans. Like, we have a special program called Club 49, which allows Alaskan residents to have, like, free bags, no matter if you have the credit card, you have status or whatever. Alaska has really marketed to Alaskans and offered us services. We also have an opportunity to pay less for Gold Streak, which is, like, to send the cargo back and forth. So we have, like, a fixed rate if you're an Alaska resident. And so I think that's where the loyalty has been built. And they also started right in the beginning. I've been part of the Alaska loyalty plan for 25 years as of this year. So I got my number when I was 7 years old. And I have had status with Alaska Airlines for, this will be my 12th year. So there's been a ton of opportunities to earn status, earn miles, and then that flexibility of the schedule for Alaskans. Outside of Alaskans, I think Alaska feels like it's trending right now, of course, because of the merger with Hawaiian. And then Alaska has 30 airline partners, which you can use your Alaska airline miles on those airlines. Like you were saying, you can book an American flight for 6,500 miles on Alaska Airlines versus American miles is 9,000. So that is very common with a lot of the airline partners. I will just say right now to everybody, it's very important to know that sometimes those flights are phantom flights. And unfortunately, the website isn't updated quickly enough that you won't know that that's a phantom flight until you click checkout. So say you don't have the miles in your Alaska Airlines account and you would have to transfer the miles or have the Alaska Airlines miles and then click checkout to know if that flight is a phantom flight or not. And this has been something that's been really frustrating with a lot of international travel. I know Alaska Airlines is working on it, on updating their website, but it is absolutely something that is happening where you can't know if the flight is actually available until you hit checkout, which I know is different from other airlines and a little frustrating, but something to be aware of.
Yeah, it's absolutely interesting because one of the things that we talk about when we teach points and miles and how to do it with individuals, and I know you do this as well because you work with people on this, right, is you never transfer your points until you verify with the airline that that flight's available. So if you're using seats.aero or points, yeah, or point.me or any of these at all, you know, you need to go ahead and confirm. Now, one of the ways to do that is by calling, obviously, but you can also a lot of times just go on that airline's website and say, hey, United, is this actually available? Emirates, is this actually available? 99% of the time, if you see it on that airline's website, you can do it. It's wild that you would literally have to hit the checkout button and see that there's an error to know that that did not exist, which to your point is an issue if someone's gone ahead and transferred their points for their family of five for a flight they're excited to take that they thought was a steal, and now those points are locked into Alaska.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So that's really something to be mindful of. Calling is the best opportunity right now. And until they update their website, Alaska has a lot of changes, and we're going to talk about those changes today because people have to know, it's good and bad, but people have to know about the changes that are happening. But I know that Alaska's priority is customer service and, you know, having a solid system and a good business. I believe that they do want to support their customers, but they're just going through growing pains with, you know, the merger and growing their business. I was on a flight recently and I sat next to one of the airline pilots and he was just telling me how they have 9 MAX 9s and 8s on order. So they are growing at such a like fast rate and some things are falling through the cracks. But I don't believe that that's because they're a bad company. It's just, it's growing pains, in my opinion.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So let's talk about these mileage plan updates. What are the things that you think is really relevant for the listeners to know? Because obviously there's been a lot of hype around Alaska Airlines here just within the last 30 to 60 days.
Yes. I think the biggest advantage for everybody across the board is earning EQMs, Elite Qualifying Miles, on award travel, including on award travel on partner airlines. So, for example, you book a flight with those miles on Alaska Airline Metal or on their airline partners, you're going to earn points. You're going to earn the miles flown towards your status.
And that's an absolute game changer. I don't know of any other airline that's doing that. And like you said, having status with different airlines is beneficial because you could do that, book award travel. Next thing you know, you've got a low tier Alaska Airlines status, which you might say, I don't really need that because I don't fly Alaska specific. But Alaska Airlines is part of Oneworld. And that low tier Oneworld Sapphire membership can now get you into a lounge in Qatar that you wouldn't have had. And that's because you were getting your actual qualifying miles essentially by flying award travel. And that's one of the biggest downsides with using award points. Whenever I almost never use my American miles for really inexpensive American flights because I want to get the actual miles to help me with status. So that's huge. What else is there?
I feel the same. I want to touch on that real quick because a very important key part of this new amazing opportunity is that all those flights have to be booked on Alaska Airlines website. So you're not going to be booking on a partner airline. You're not going to be booking on American with American miles, putting in your Alaska code and earning EQMs. You're going to be booking that American flight on Alaska Airlines website with Alaska Airline miles, and then you're earning the EQMs on that American flight. Very important to know because I feel like it was a little bit confusing, and it is a little bit confusing even for me. I had to really just study the terms and conditions to understand what the rules were. But that's really important to know. There's a second thing that's really important to know, and that is they are now offering bonus EQMs on partner airlines if you book with cash. So if you go on Alaska Airlines and book a cash flight on American or you book on Iceland Air, you will earn, based on the class fare of that flight, you will earn EQMs. And if it's in a higher class fare, such as a premium economy and up, you will earn bonus. So you'll earn a higher percentage EQMs. That is only applicable for cash fares, which has been something that is kind of confusing because they are promoting that you're earning EQMs on partner airlines. However, that is specifically for cash fares. It's only elevated EQMs if it's cash fares. If you buy a first class or a business class flight like I did from Amsterdam to JFK on a Morocco airline, I can't remember the name. It's like Ryanair. But anyways, I bought that business class seat for 55,000 Alaska Airline miles. I'm only going to be earning the miles flown on that airline towards my EQMs. Whereas if I would have paid for cash for that flight, which was like $3,000, I personally would never do, I would be earning 250%. So I'd be earning 2.5 times the EQMs. I hope that's not confusing, but I really find it very important because I don't want people to, their expectations to be lowered or misunderstood.
I appreciate that. Just for the listeners out there, can you just explain briefly what EQM stands for, what it is?
Yeah, Elite Qualifying Miles. One Elite Qualifying Mile is towards your elite status. And gosh, there's just so much that has been updated that is amazing. There are four tiers on Alaska Airlines. You have MVP, MVP Gold, 75K, and 100K. MVP Gold is where you start to earn the Oneworld status, the Sapphire that you have mentioned. So these are the four statuses that are the traditional statuses that we've had for many, many years. But in between those statuses, they have added milestones in 2025. And milestones are when you hit certain EQMs with your travel, you get to pick a perk. And there's a list of perks. I'll share that document with you so you can put it in the show notes. And you can pick a perk when you hit these milestones. And the milestones are 10,000, 30,000, 55,000, 85,000. So when you hit these EQMs, you're going to have a list of perks where you can pick a perk on your way to elite status, which is really cool.
Very nice. Very nice. I know a lot of people, Betsy, have been super excited, and this loophole is probably closing very soon, that with this partnership of Alaska Airlines and Hawaii Airlines, that you can essentially transfer your points from Amex into Alaskan and an Alaskan into Hawaiian. Do you know people taking advantage of that? Have you done that yourself? Well, you probably don't need to do that because you actually have the Alaskan miles, but I know a lot of people have been doing that because they're like, hey, this is a really convenient way to get some Hawaiian air miles built up from our Amex. Can you speak to that at all? Do you have any idea what that timeline is going to look like when they're going to close this loophole that's available currently? So actually, sorry, let me correct myself. Actually, it's going from Amex to Hawaiian to get to Alaskan Airlines. So have you seen people that are taking advantage of that?
If I were to answer that question, in my opinion, I believe that when the websites actually merge together, the Hawaiian and the Alaska website becomes one website, that's when they'll kick that off. I have not capitalized on this for two reasons. One, the cost to switch over the miles from Amex to Hawaiian. Two, I have many other ways to earn Alaska Airlines miles. In 2023, I earned close to 300,000 Alaska Airlines miles with all the partner programs that I can earn and through flying. So I didn't find value in it. I found value in my Amex points in other ways. But I believe that either A, when the websites combine to one website, or B, when the premium Alaska Airlines credit card comes out. So I wonder if Hawaiian Airlines has a contract with Amex that they're waiting for that to expire, like as a transfer partner. I wonder if a Hawaiian and Amex have some kind of longstanding agreement that they have to fulfill before they can remove them as a transfer partner. But I do believe that that is going to go away, especially with the new credit card, especially with the transfer partner on Bilt. I don't believe that Alaska is going to maintain that transfer partner with Hawaiian Airlines. Again, just my personal opinion. I mean, there's other ways to earn Alaska Airlines miles, though, through the Alaska Airlines co-branded credit card, which is like a sign-up bonus of 70,000 miles, plus comes with a companion fare, which I'm happy to go over that, the rules of the companion fare. And you can also earn Alaska Airlines miles with Bilt by paying rent. You can transfer over there, a transfer partner of Bilt. So it's not the end of the world if it ends. And in all honesty, if I'm being completely honest, I feel like it's a lot of money to transfer those points over from Amex to Hawaiian. I will say, if you recently in the website, it feels like that the Hawaiian miles are giving you better options on Alaska Airlines flights than the Alaska miles are giving on Alaska flights.
So Betsy, actually, I know that when we were at Travel War together, which is where we met, I actually learned that Alaska Airlines and their travel partners are really good for stopovers. And so for those that don't know, there's a difference between a layover and a stopover. And the big difference with a stopover is that a stopover is essentially a layover of more than 24 hours. So it can be anywhere from 24 hours to a few days to even technically a couple weeks, depending on the airline and their rules. With a stopover, you actually get your luggage back so you can stay and enjoy the city. And so this isn't a deep dive on stopover specifically, but I thought what was really cool was that two really cool destinations that you can do a stopover in with Alaskan Airlines and Miles and their partners is Fiji and another one as well in Iceland. So you can actually, as you're flying from, I don't know, somewhere on the lower 48, as you guys call it, to perhaps maybe it's Bora Bora or something like that, you can do a stopover in Fiji, spend a few days there, and it's technically all in one itinerary. So there's a lot of nuances with Alaskan Airlines, I think, that are not well known, and a lot more that I feel like are going to come to light here, especially in the near future, as it's gotten a lot of hype with this merger with Hawaiian Airlines.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like it's very trending, very popular right now. My DMs are filled with questions on Alaska Airlines, and I am super happy to teach everybody about it because I love it.
So before we get into talking a little bit more about Alaskan travels in general, any other specific strategies or thoughts or routes or anything like that that you think more people should know about that they should take advantage of or think about with Alaskan Airlines, or just any other tips and tricks with Alaskan Airlines in general?
Sure. There's so many. But I think one of the most valuable things that I think Alaska Airlines has is redeeming the miles on transfer partners for international travel. I've seen business class flights for 55,000, 60,000 points. My daughter and I flew my two-year-old to Germany last summer for 55,000 points direct from Anchorage to Frankfurt. And that was 55,000 per ticket, which was insane to bring my two-year-old in business class and spend those points on my two-year-old in business class. What I didn't realize is that I wouldn't actually get to enjoy business class because I was parenting my two-year-old. So like, I didn't get to drink the champagne. I didn't get to like enjoy my meal. I didn't get to sleep. So pro tip, maybe save your points for the luxury flights without your children. It's nice to have the room, but I will be honest, it was actually more distracting for my daughter when they would come by with the cart and every time she thought she was going to get something. And I'm like, at this point, no, you cannot have any more juice. You need to go to sleep. Like, just because she's coming doesn't mean you get anything. And of course, explaining that to a two-year-old is like, forget about it. Anyways, so there are some really sweet opportunities for international travel with Alaska Airlines miles. I recently saw one in November of 2025 from LA to Tahiti for 60,000 on Tahiti Air. So there's lots of sweet deals. So when you're looking at, you want to check the partner list and see if there's any airlines on there that you would be flying on, that you would want to fly on. And then you check Alaska Airlines. Just be cognizant of those phantom flights that you might find. And also be aware that there's three types of partners, okay? There's the partners that are the One World of partners, where your status, if you have status on another airline that is part of the One World Alliance, will be recognized, meaning you get upgrades. For example, I flew Qatar from Bali to Anchorage in October, and I bought an economy seat. I paid 35,000 miles to fly from Bali to Anchorage, and I was upgraded on Qatar the whole way in premium economy.
Wow.
Which was really nice. And that was only because of my One World status. And I want to tell a funny story about the lounge in Qatar.
Okay, go for it.
I didn't get a chance to go there because on the way home from Bali, I ended up getting like a cold. I got shivers, I got the chills, and I wasn't feeling well. I had to be wheelchaired off the airplane because I couldn't move. My body was aching so bad. And they, instead of being able to go to the lounge, Qatar Airlines made me go see the doctor. So I wasn't able to make it to the doctor clinic because, of course, I couldn't walk. I had too many body aches. So the doctor met me at the gate for the next flight. But I wasn't able to make it to the fancy lounge that I had access to because I was busy getting seen by a doctor that showed up on a little pedal bike with his medical team on pedal bikes and gave me some anti-inflammatory, and then they allowed me to go back on to the next flight to Seattle. So funny story. Haven't made it there yet.
Got it. That's absolutely wild. So Betsy, I want to transition now and talk a little bit about traveling to Alaska. And so last year we had a super popular episode with Ryan of Profits and Points. That was episode 32. And he actually did his honeymoon as an Alaskan cruise. Talked all about how he got to Alaska using points and miles, how he was able to enhance his whole cruise experience using his knowledge of points and miles. But one of the things he said in that episode is his recommendation was the first time that you go and travel to Alaska, it's beneficial. He'd recommend doing it as a cruise so you could see so much. I'm curious, as an Alaskan, knowing all the beauty in Alaska, would you agree with him, or would you have a different recommendation for the person that has never been to Alaska, which I will tell you, I've never been to Alaska.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's a relative answer. So if you're somebody who is more reserved and not as adventurous, absolutely. Get on a cruise, cruise through the Southeast, get to see the glaciers, maybe see some animals, get an opportunity to go into like multiple areas. If you're an adventurous person, skip the cruise. You're going to feel this desire to go do more when you get to these port cities or these port towns. Because A, you only have, I mean, maybe 10 hours in these port cities. Pro tip, some of the cruise lines won't pay the docking fee. So you'll have to get on a tender to be tendered to, which I'm sure this is normal. I haven't been on a cruise before, but they won't be able to pay, or there's not enough permits per dock to dock the cruise line. So you'll get on a tender. Some people can't get on the tender because there's too many people. They don't have enough time. Like they cut it off. And so some people can't go into the towns if they're on a certain cruise. This doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I have heard of it before where if they don't make it, and then again, you're stressed about getting into a line and waiting to be getting on a boat to get to the dock to spend X amount of time in Juneau, Sitka, Skagway, all those Haines places. But back to it. If you're an adventurous person, skip the cruise, please. Just, you would want to come into South Central Anchorage. You want to fly into Anchorage, which is honestly the best opportunity because, like I said, there's a huge schedule from Seattle to Anchorage, or internationally, we have that flight. If you're coming from Europe, Frankfurt to Anchorage, holy cow, that was a freaking dream to get on the plane in Anchorage and show up in Europe in 9.5 hours. That was it. I'm doing it again this summer so that I can go to Europe. So if you're an adventurous person, you're going to want to come to South Central Alaska, which is you're going to arrive in Anchorage. From there, you can rent a car. There's a ton of opportunities to rent Turos with camper shells. There are a ton of opportunities to rent like pickup trucks that have like the motorhome style on top. One thing I will say is if somebody comes and rents a car, get the car insurance. Like use your Chase Sapphire, use the car insurance. I rented my car on Turo. I had multiple people have the rocks come through the window because there's a huge, you know, we use a lot of salt and stuff on our roads during the summertime. There's so much damage from the rocks. The windshields get cracked all the time. People hit moose. Like you're not paying attention. I've done it before. The mama moose crosses the road and then I don't see the baby moose and I hit the baby moose. Like that happens more often than you think. You could get stuck and damage, you know, the bumper or any kind of plastic on the vehicle. If you get stuck in some mud, you know, Alaska is not just paved roads. Like we have a ton of dirt roads almost everywhere. Anyways, so you're going to come to South Central Alaska in Anchorage, and then you're going to rent a car or take the train. The train is a really good opportunity for you to get to some of those cute little fishing towns. The train runs multiple times throughout the week, and you can catch a train to Whittier. You can catch a train to Seward. You can catch a train to Talkeetna. You can catch a train to Fairbanks, which is 8-hour drive north of Anchorage. But if I were to recommend somebody coming to Alaska and they had, first off, I'm recommending people when they come to Alaska, minimum 10 days. Minimum 10 days. Don't sell yourself short and just do a week. You're not going to be satisfied, for one, because you're going to know that there's so much more to do. And two, there's so much to do. It costs a lot of money to come to Alaska. So you want to have a lot of time to do the Alaskan experience. But if you were to come to Alaska and I were to send you somewhere, I would send you down the Seward Highway towards Seward. You would go to Girdwood, which is like our ski town, but also in the summers, like a mountain bike town. And then you would head up Whittier, which I used to live there. My husband's a fisherman and it's a fishing town of 280 people. You drive through the mountain in a tunnel. It's quite an experience. Everybody loves it. And then you have to drive back through the mountain to get out. And you continue down the road. You're going to go through 3 mountain passes with big mountains literally right next to you. So like you're driving and then like there's the big mountains right there. And then you're going to go to Seward. And you're going to go continue down. And then you're going to go, if you still have time in those 10 days that you're spending on the Seward Highway, you're going to cruise along. You're going to go through Cooper Landing. You're going to hit up a small town called Kenai, which is super cute. And then keep going down that road. You're going to go to Homer, which is like an iconic fishing town that has unlimited mountain views. And then you're going to drive back.
Super cool. Love how you just gave us an entire itinerary, which I'm going to, I don't know, use AI to figure out the transcript to turn this into a whole trip for us at some point. But my question for you now, Betsy, is when's the best time of year to do all of this?
Summertime. We have unlimited light. It's light during the summer. June, July are like, so two things with the light. You're going to get energy to do all this stuff. And B, everybody here is energized. So like we're ready for everybody to come and play. And so that's huge because that gives an energy to your trip where A, you have enough light to do all the activities that you want to do in a day. I mean, it doesn't get dark. So it's like you can play as long as you can stay awake.
Any general misconceptions that a lot of people have when it comes to traveling to Alaska by chance?
I think a common misconception could be that it is super expensive. It is expensive to come to Alaska and do like the activities. Okay, so you're going to get on a glacier tour. You're going to pay $200-$300 a person. You're going to go on a helicopter ride, $500 a person. But you can come to Alaska and just adventure on your own. Get out into the mountains. You can hike a mountain for free. You can pay the $4 parking pass and then go hike a mountain for free. So Alaska has an opportunity to be affordable if you're an adventurous type.
Awesome. 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 Betsy, this has been fantastic. You've shared some really great insights about Alaskan Airlines, the new mileage plan updates, the route that you want to go when it comes to traveling to Alaska. My question for you here, any last thoughts, ideas, strategies when it comes to either Alaskan Airlines or Alaska travel that you want to make sure the listeners know?
Follow me. Not to plug that, but I am super passionate about Alaska. I love to like showcase Alaska, and I am flying on Alaska Airlines. Oh gosh, like these probably have 12 trips already booked for this year. I'm really proud to say that I keep up on the updates, or I spend a lot of time calling and talking to the CSAs about everything that's going on. So the most important thing I think that people should know about Alaska Airlines is that it's a good opportunity to use miles. There are a lot of opportunities to earn miles, and booking your travel with miles to Alaska during the summertime is going to be the most affordable way to get to Alaska. Otherwise, unfortunately, May through September, they do elevate the prices to come to Alaska in order to support tourism.
Perfect. Good to know. And as far as the plug on following you, where can listeners follow you?
My main platform is Instagram. I love Instagram. I am on Facebook, and those are my two places I live. My handle is Her Alaska Travels, HERALASKATRAVELS, Her Alaska Travels.
Awesome. And we're going to go ahead and link all of that in the show notes as well. Betsy, this was amazing. You provide a lot of insights in a lot of different areas and helped educate me on both a trip to Alaska and the value and benefits that Alaskan Airlines provides. And I know that the listeners as well are going to feel the same way as far as the benefit and the new knowledge they have when it comes to all things Alaska. This was absolutely fantastic. Before we wrap this one up, last question I have for you is, who else do you think we should have on the show in the space of travel, points and miles, all the different things there?
The person that I've been really loving lately is the Points Fly Girl. I believe her name is Diane. She was at Travel Marcom. She's been really helpful in learning about business cards.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, we'll try to connect with her, get her on the show in the future. Betsy, thanks so much for being on the show today, for providing all of this knowledge. And we really appreciate you taking the time out today.
Yeah. No, it's a long time coming and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, make sure to follow Betsy at Her Alaska Travels. See all things about Alaska, living in Alaska, and the life of an Alaskan traveler as well. And as always, if you love the show, please don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, leave a review. We love it if you leave a review. That's always going to help promote our show more to more listeners. And as always, we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.